don't know. There's a advertisement break.
Amen, amen. You got any prayer requests over there, sister? Will you add Kenny Ferris to the prayer list, please? He is in the hospital up in Oklahoma.
We want to pray for my bestie, Chrissy, who's recovering from surgery.
Yep. She was on my heart this morning. I was about to text her.
We want to pray for the family of Andy Lucas, who went to be with the Lord on Monday. Mm. We want to pray for Carmen Brock, and I believe she has 3 children. Her husband, Adam, passed away. Mm. And Tammy Mertz asked for prayer for her dad, Don Adams, who's having a procedure today.
Okay. What about y'all? You got prayers? Y'all have anything y'all want to take to the Lord? Mm-hmm. You, Monica?
No, just my friend Kenny.
Kenny Ferris. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even if I don't feel like what I'm saying is hitting your lips, God, you're right here in the midst and you're moving on our behalf. Father, we pray for Kenny Ferris in the hospital. God, I don't have no idea what he's going through, but you know. Your ear has never left him. Your heart has never left him, and your hand will not cease to move on his behalf. So, Father, I pray that he destroys his feelings by moving in faith. And, God, that you're his only hope. You are our only hope, Jesus. There is only one thing and one name that we could call on, and that is the name of Jesus. So I call on your name, Father, to deliver him from whatever he's going on in the hospital, to move on his behalf and bring good to his life. Father, I pray for Chrissy. Chrissy, I love you. Father, I thank you that you love Chrissy so much, Father. Despite what has been done in her life by her, your love for her fully met its measurement and ran over when Jesus died on the cross. So I thank you that you are moving on her behalf. You are recovering her body, God. You have let it go smoothly and that you're speaking to her heart today. Father, I pray for the family of Andy Lucas. Lord Jesus, he went to be with the Lord God Almighty. He has been delivered from this world and its tribulations, Father God. He's been delivered from feelings of laziness, of boredom, of confusion, of depression, of stress, Father God. He has been brought in to the land of milk and honey, God, the land forever be happy. And that's our promise in you, Father. You promised and you are faithful to bring us. So I thank you, God, that you brought him there. And I thank you that you have a good plan for his family. I pray for peace in their hearts, Jesus. Peace on this earth in their hearts. And that they would draw near to you, Father God, in your assurance. The Bible says the secret is Christ in us, giving us full assurance of faith. So I pray that they know that secret, Father, that you are our full assurance of faith. Father, I pray for Carmen Brock and the family. we just prayed for that, huh? No, we didn't. Carmen Brock and the family, her husband Adam passed away as well, Father God. I pray for complete, like a rope being brought around the family, Lord Jesus. And pulled in tighter and tighter so that they can grow closer and closer with you right in the middle. And that from that middle, God, light shines onto each one of their hearts. And they begin to explode in joy, Father God, running over onto one another, knowing that you are just and fair, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for the entrance into eternity. I pray for Tammy Mers, Father God, for her daddy, Don Adams. He's having a procedure today. Lord Jesus, like we always ask you, guide the hands of the surgeons, guide the minds of them, Father. Whether they believe in you or not, you're able to move. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who they are. The Holy Spirit can move on believers' halves, and that's what he does. So I pray that that moves onto the operators, Father God, and that everything goes smoothly. Now, when he comes out, he can praise the Lord. And I pray while he's under, he'll have an experience with you that'll change him for the rest of life, whether he remembers it or not. And I pray for all the families, Lord God, that are going through things. All my believers, my brothers and sisters around the world, that they would pick up the boldness, Lord Jesus, in their times of struggle, in their times of depression, and in their times of stress, in their times feeling disconnected, that they know that we will inherit glory from you, God. And I thank you that you're one with us, Jesus, and we pray these to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen, amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. God has designed us to be unique. What we feel, how we see, and why we express is unequaled. You have a reason why you are here. He wants to help you with that reason. You are a channel to your world. What flows through that channel is how your world will experience the influence of you. So what goes through you is what feeds your world.
Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating, and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company that cares.
We hope today's edition.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Nick Nathaniel, the Net Medina. Mm-hmm. His title for today is Faith Over Feelings. Now, I'd like to touch on something real quick. Mm-hmm. How awesome is it? It's like, okay, here in the physical realm, we have a court of law. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to abide the laws, mm-hmm. or we could face charges. Mm-hmm. Imprisonment, fines, this and that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Same thing in the spiritual realm. There's rules. Okay? So, what's so awesome is in a court of law, like here, you have the advocate and the adversary. Okay? You have your defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney. Mm-hmm. Okay? In the spiritual realm, Jesus is our defense. Mm-hmm. He's our advocate. Right. He's right there at the side, at the right hand of God, advocating for us. That's my child. Mm-hmm. Look past what you look. Look at me. Look at them through me, mm-hmm. Father. Look at me, and see them through me. They're mine. Mm-hmm. And the adversary, the enemy, ooh, did you just see what they did? Ooh, you seen that thought go across there, right? Mm-hmm. Ooh, did you see what they was looking at? Mm-hmm. Did you hear what they just said? Mm-hmm. Look what they just did. Mm-hmm. But Jesus stands there as an advocate. Mm-hmm. And he tells the Father, they're mine. Mm-hmm. They follow me. Look at them through me. Mm-hmm, Jesus. And when God looks at us through Jesus, he doesn't see junk. Mm-hmm. He sees us as an heir. Mm-hmm. Through our brother. Jesus is my best friend. He's my big brother. He stands up there beside our daddy defending me every day, mm-hmm. all day.
All day.
No matter what.
Forever making intercession.
Yes.
We have an advocate with the Father. I love that. And you want to be free? Think about this. You do something wrong, the accuser brings it to light. Mm-hmm. Christ paid the punishment for that. And guess what? He paid the price for everyone you'll ever do again. So your whole future is completely paid for. Mm-hmm. You want to be free from sin? There you go. Now you're no longer held by it. Hallelujah. Past, present, and future. All of the sins have been paid for completely. You're completely washed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
The chains. The chains to sin are gone.
All the devil has on us now is to try to make us feel guilty.
Yep. And he tries so hard to get us to put that ball and chain back on, mm-hmm. to enslave us.
Yep. Jesus is like, no, don't do that. You're like, well.
Yep.
Well, I'm at the prison. He's like, what? I just paid the price. Either way. Okay. Let's talk about this. We're talking about faith over feelings. Hallelujah. You know all the gospel roots back to the gift of righteousness given by Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. The right standing with God forevermore, that we're perfected, that we're perfect. I'm trying to help someone dealing with afflictions here, because this whole past month, dude, I have been wrecked. Just going through feelings after feelings after feelings. Just making me feel like a failure, right? So, but either way, I'm not a failure. I'm victorious. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I want to read this, and then I'm going to go back and touch on some things you'd probably know, but I want to remind you. It says right here, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Our assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. I don't even take my car. I just walk home. How dramatic this is. Mm-hmm. He who promised is faithful. He's saying, don't waver in your faith. There's a full assurance of your faith. Stop looking at how you feel. Stop looking at your performance. Stop looking at your behavior. Be fully assured of your faith. What is our faith? That we have been washed clean, completely justified, and I'm heading to heaven. No matter what you say about me, I'm heading to heaven. No matter what I do and mess up, I'm heading to heaven. And keeping that full assurance is how we keep the faith, that what Christ did was enough. Let's look back at the lives of Joseph. We'll just start binging them off. And let's go to Abraham first. Abraham, we all know the faith story of Abraham. You're going to have a son. Abraham's like, wow, man, awesome. Imagine how excited he was. Later, 20 years, he's like, man, I still don't got a kid. But he kept assurance that he who promised was faithful. That's in Hebrews 11. That he who promised is faithful. The faith wasn't on him. Oh, I believe good enough. I feel like I'm going to have a kid. So my feelings are depicting me having a kid. The performance, that's not you. Your feelings can never get you a promise. The faith that he who gave it to you is faithful. Come Abraham on. Had a son. Hallelujah. Look at Joseph. On down the line. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. God's like, hey, early. Here's a dream. Your brothers will bow down to you, even your father and your mother. He tells everybody, they slander him. I guarantee you, you're gonna come against slander. This past 2 months, I've been slandered, boy. Hallelujah. But what does the Bible say? All those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. It's nothing compared to what they did to Jesus Christ.
Come on.
They loved him and wanted everything from him and then spit on his face, pulled his beard out, said, if you're from God, let God save you. Why he's on the cross. And what did Christ say out of his mouth? God, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That is our faith. That's his faith. That he talked to the Father, him and Father one. Father, forgive them. That's how much faith he had, even though they were just deliberately putting him back, right? Mm. So despite that, everybody talked bad about Joseph. What did Joseph go and do? Oh, man, I'm sold into slavery. How do you think Joseph felt? First off, that his brothers threw him in a hole. Oh, man, God, this ain't my brothers bound down to me. It's the complete opposite. Well, pull him out. His brothers sold him as a slave. He go to Egypt. Man, now I'm a slave. God, what's going on? Then he goes in. He becomes the second man of the whole thing. Wow, hallelujah. Maybe this is starting to turn around. Boom, lied about. He got persecuted, got turned on, got lied about. Now he's in jail. Lord Jesus, what is this? Oh, then he became the second hand in jail. Look at his ticket. Somebody came in and he did dream interpreted. He interprets the dream. I guarantee you, Joseph didn't feel like he was being bowed down to while he was in prison. But what'd he do? He remained faithful to the one who promised him. He interpreted a dream. How many times have God asked you to do something, but you didn't feel like it, so you didn't step out and do it? Joseph didn't feel like it. He stepped out and did it. Here's the dream interpretation. Oh, man, and when you go to the king, tell him about me so I can get out of here. Right? Never. 2 years passed by. 2 years passed by. And he was still in prison. But then he got out and became that. He remained faithful to the one who is faithful. So don't put the pressure on yourself, because everything is going to come against you. But you got to remember who promised you is faithful. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. Let's go to the life of Moses. Look at Moses. Mm-hmm. Called from birth. Called from birth. Set apart from birth and saved. Went into the Pharaoh's house. Was the Pharaoh's daughter's son, right? Everything's going great. He knew he had a calling on his life. He knew. The Bible says later on in the epistles that he knew he was going to be used to set his people free. What happens when our feelings get the best of us, right? It doesn't stop God's promise. Hallelujah. Can you thank God that that don't stop? Our mistakes and our feelings don't stop God's promise. What do you do? He goes into Egypt. He's there in Egypt. He said, whoa, they're oppressing my brothers. He said, hey, don't oppress my brothers. Kills the Egyptian, right? Thinking that his brothers would know he was the one to set them free. Because he knew the calling was there, but his feelings said, let's take action now. Then what he do to come back to split up? First, he try to kill the oppressor, then mend the brother, right? He comes in and mend the brothers. What they say? What, are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian?
Yep. Come on.
Imagine right then. How am I going to set my people free? They don't even like me. So he flees and he leaves because he said he left the body in sand. Who bears a body in sand? You can't do that. The leg's sticking out the ground. Everybody see the body, Moses. So he goes on about, he goes into the desert, right? He goes into Midian, meets that ladies at the watering well. The dad gives him, Ruel is his name, gives him his daughter. 40 years. So now he's 80 years old. All y'all people who's 79 years old, hallelujah, God's got a plan for you. So he's 80 years old, and God's like, yeah, the burning bush. And it said, when Moses turned his head to see the burning bush, the Lord called out to him. Said, come here, I have something for you. What did Moses say? What did Moses say when God spoke out of a burning bush? Some of y'all think, if I seen a burning bush, I would answer. But you can't even answer when he says to go outside and pray for somebody.
Come on.
So your feelings can't be the basis of your faith. What did he say? Send anybody, but not me. Dude, this burning bush is on fire with God in it. And so God says, go ahead and go do it. He's like, no, not me. I've never been good with my words. He's like, don't worry, I'll talk to you. No, I just never been good with my words. And then it says, the anger of God kindled against Moses. What did he do? I'm going to send your brother with you. So his brother went. It didn't stop the promise of God on Moses' life. But his feelings differed the plan a little. But it's still the same promise and same salvation. Moses could have known from a young person, I can have full assurance that the one who promised me to be the deliverer is going to come. But he didn't know. He had to go through a life of men and now his feelings. And then when he got to God still, he still had feelings. Remember what he said? Well, if you send me to the Egyptians don't even like me. And my people don't even like me. Don't worry, I'll handle it all. And then Moses kept persisting. And Jesus is like, look, here's the whole plan. This is everything I'm going to say, everything I'm going to do, everything you're going to do, everything Aaron's going to do. And then you'll know it's me when you come out. He told him the whole plan. And Moses is like, It's his feelings. We have to remember the one who promises faithful. So let's keep pushing on. Look at the life of Jesus. It was a testimony of God's faithfulness, right? That's why everybody was so blown away when Christ was healing the sick, delivering people from demons, sitting with sinners, bringing people out. And then what did Moses try to do? He tried to destroy the enemy, right? Kill and then bring peace. Complete opposite from Jesus. He said, I can't kill and bring justice. I have to die to bring peace. So what he did was fulfill it perfectly and die for us to have peace, justification, righteousness, and victory and salvation forevermore just by believing in faith, right? So Christ came and was the faithful testament of God's faithfulness. Before, they didn't know God like that. They knew God as this person all the way up here who's going to help us out. He was a pillar of fire. He split the sea, which would blow our minds today. Right. But they didn't have faith then. So this should show you that faith comes from the Holy Spirit, right? So look, Jesus lived a life coming and says, I'm personal. I'm with you now. I'm going to disregard your sins because I'm about to pay for them. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to forgive you. Look at Peter. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ride with you, God. And then he turns on him. But who was the first person to see Peter according to Paul? Or the first person to see Jesus according to Paul? Peter. It was the first person to see Christ after he resurrected. And Christ told him, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, right? But I have prayed that your faith may remain. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. What happened to Peter? He got sifted. He denied Christ. But Christ said, I pray that your faith would remain. Even in Peter's denial, major mess up. Because we all know the Bible says, if you deny me, I'll deny you before my Father. But that's not keeping the faithfulness of God intact. We can always turn back to Christ. Then Christ told Peter, you're about to be sifted and you're going to turn against me. But I pray that your faith will remain. And when you turn back, hallelujah, tell yourself that today when you're feeling down, when I turn back, I'm going to strengthen my brothers. It might be tough now. You might have made a mistake now. You might feel down now. You might be doing something that you know ain't right. You might be feeling like, I'm praying to you, God, but I can't hear you. But when you turn back, strengthen your brothers because your faith will remain. I'm going to skip quickly. I'm not even going to read it. I'm going to go to off of memory just because I have to at the time because I know my time's coming short and I'll run and read something else. It's the parable by Paul. I don't know of any parables by Paul other than this one in 2 Timothy where he says a good soldier doesn't entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life to please the one who has enlisted him. And I'm going to paraphrase this next part. Go back and look at it. It's an athlete competing has to compete by the rules so that he can be crowned. And a hardworking farmer should be the first to take a first partaker of the fruits, right? This parable by Paul in 2 Timothy, maybe I could skip to it real quick. Yeah, 2 Timothy, it's somewhere in here. Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it because I don't have no time. Oh, yeah, it's 2 Timothy 2. And things you have heard from me among the witnesses. So he tells this parable. I never got this parable. And I said, Father, I don't understand this parable. But I'm telling you, this parable is about faith through long suffering. You're like, wait, what? Look at this. A good soldier. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. So think about this. In your life, you're going to endure hardship. A lot of our hardship is feeling disconnected from God because our faith is growing. And what's our reward when we stick to the path, we stand firm, and we press in to God when we don't feel nothing? Is that we please him when we see him. Look at the second part. The one who is an athlete and competes, it says right here, is and also if anyone competes as an athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Right there. Real quick and simple. When you run this race, it's going to be tough. It's going to be things you don't want to do. It's going to be times you don't feel like competing. And it's going to be a lot of times when you feel like, I'm more athletic than what I could show. I got more in me, God, than what I'm showing right now. But I'm telling you, if you compete by the rules, you'll be crowned with the crown of righteousness. So our first is to please God by enduring hardship. The second is to continue on when we feel otherwise to get the crown of righteousness. Now, look at this third part. I never got this. It says, the hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. I said, what does that have to do with anything? The hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. He's saying, if you labor in faith and you don't let the drought stop you from sowing, and you don't let the circumstances stop you from sowing, and you don't let the exhaustion stop you from pressing in, you will be the first one to partake of the fruits. I guarantee you, I'm going to reward you with what you have done. We are, we're justified by faith. Hallelujah. But God is a rewarder for those who seek him. So if we press in and continue in our faith despite hardship, God is going to reward us with the first fruits. And right after it says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Wow. Now I'm going to read this last part. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Watch this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Praise God for his faithfulness. Praise God that we can push on knowing that we can get it. That we can and we will. And we are not what he says, but what our faith tells us that we are. I want to read something. I know we are on like 3 minutes. And I've jam-packed a lot in here. Hallelujah. I ain't been here in a minute. Hallelujah.
It seems like a whole month, brother.
And that's too long, okay? Now I want to read y'all this for all yours are saying, well, this was beautiful and all, but I'm still feeling down. Hey, guess what? I'm still feeling about the same way. But I'm speaking out faith when my body's telling me I'm abandoned. I want to read this. The Lord gave it to me the other day. I told y'all I'm not a writer. Not a writer. Please. So bear with me. I'm going to read this. It says, let the words of the Lord pierce your heart. This was the other morning I woke up. I said, I'm going to try not to cry, hallelujah, because this is from my heart. Don't be silent with me, Father. Don't keep your voice from my ears. My heart longs day and night for the peace of your presence. My lips still speak your name. Did I do something to deafen my ears? Did I do something to silence your lips? I try to be satisfied, but nothing compares to your reassurance. Your closeness I miss. Your hands on mine. Your words that spring forth life in my path, that make rivers run from rocks. The satisfaction and feeling you walk with me cannot be compared. Yet, I still feel alone. I know you are there. I know. I know because you haven't left me. You have never left me because your promise is not to leave. I'll hold you to your incorruptible words. I will keep that promise close, like a child with a blanket in a dark room. You are my safe place, food and entertainment and people. But what is any of it without your assurance? I want to feel you just a little. I won't trust my feelings. I will press on. My spirit tells me you have never left. My heart tells me I'm with my love. Your spirit may be quiet, but this will make us stronger. I will believe when I don't feel. I will have faith when all my senses are dried out. I will call on your name when I seem to be unheard. Who else will I call on? Who is strong like you? Who heals all diseases like you? Who delivers souls from the trap of eternity? Who fills lifeless bodies with abundance? Who else laid their life down for me? Who knows me like you do? Who sees my worst and still delights in me? Who else compares to you, my Lord? Who else compares to you, my friend? Who else compares to you, my Father? No one, nothing. You alone are my satisfaction, my salvation, my hope. I soon will have you like never before because of the work of your hands and what you've done. And that was your will. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves me. So I want to say, when you're in a place of darkness, you can still remind yourself that he's faithful. You can still remind yourself, I don't feel you, but I know you're there. I might not feel happy, but you're my joy. I might not feel strong, but you're my strength. I might feel abandoned, but you're closer than a brother. I might feel like I'm going backwards, but you ordain my steps. I might feel unworthy, but you say I'm righteous. Continue to press on in this deep time. Don't let nothing go. like I said, like a child with a blanket in a dark room. Hold on to that promise of faith, and you will come out of it, and you will be the hard-working farmer who partakes of the first fruits. You will be the one who competes and gets the crown of righteousness, and you will be the good soldier who pleases God, and you will see your victory in the land of the living. So let every day of your life, whether it's tough or not, press into Jesus. Press into Jesus. And don't allow the enemy to let yourself beat yourself up. He gets a hold of your feelings and he backs away. Because after he tweaks your feelings, all you do is beat yourself up. Stay in faith. If it's bad, it's not from God. That's period, point blank. If it's good, it's from God. And if it's bad, wait till God brings something good out of it. So praise God and continue to push in faith. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and you already know I am going to say this again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, our awesome brother in Christ, Nicholas. Nicholas.
That'd just be easy.
Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.